Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding here to look ahead to the card at the Curragh on Sunday. First flat card of the season over in Ireland. First turf card, I should say. And we've also got the Ulster National coming up from Downpatrick. So plenty to look forward to today. Hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. Good morning, Mr. Holding.
Morning. Morning, Alex. How are you?
How are you? How was your scrambled egg?
Actually quite nice. Yeah, even though I did it myself, yeah.
Quite jealous of that this morning when you texted me and said, just give me 5 minutes, I'm having scrambled egg.
Yes, it needed to be finished.
Well, that's fair enough. I can understand that. We've got a lovely card at the Curragh today, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
Refreshing to see the flat back. I know I am a jumps fan, but it is nice to get, you know, some of your old favourites back, if you like.
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, sound like an old fuddy-duddy and say, oh, you know, jump season hasn't finished yet and it's too early, blah blah blah. I think, you know, it's a bit tired coming up with those kind of excuses, as it were. So I'm quite looking forward to a fresh new start with the Irish flat season starting today. Yeah, it should be good.
And of course the Irish Lincolnshire, the feature race on the Curragh card, at least we've got the Ulster National at Downpatrick, so plenty of really high class action to get stuck into. We'll start at the Curragh then with the 2:10, the first race. It is a maiden over 5 furlongs. Some really strong form lines here already, Andy. No, there aren't. Every horse is unraced. So I'd imagine the market is probably going to give us the best indication of what's tuned up and ready to go. And the aptly named Alertness heads affairs this morning, 6-4 for Jim Bolger and Kevin Manning. And if you're just following the market, that's the one to be on.
Yeah, and if you're following Jim Bolger as well. But Bolger's very much the man to concentrate on here. And, of course, won it last year with Subaru, who didn't really do a great deal after. But prior to that, of course, Dawn Approach took this before going on to win the Coventry Stakes. And, of course, next year, the 2,000 guineas. So all eyes are on this Alertness here, filly by Teofilio. Decent draw as well. That's another point I should mention before we start. For those of you new to racing at the Curragh, when the ground's on the soft side, particularly in the early part of the season, a high draw towards the near side fence is often quite advantageous. So with that in mind, Alertness drawn in stall 8, certainly got a decent base for which to start off this particular race. The fact that he's running a filly as well against the Colts, I think that's an indication that she's quite well forward. She's been putting quite a tentative looking 6-4 this morning. No great market activity in her direction at that price, but at the same time she hasn't drifted either. The two horses are for money against her. I think most significantly has to be the Deegan runner, Dancing Zafine. Paul Deegan, as we know, has been in fantastic form of late. His maiden horses have been carrying all before them. Two gambles landed recently at Dundalk suggest that the Deegan runners are very much well forward. He's got a good draw right up against the standside rail. He's drawn stall 9. He's a colt by Zafine, so you know, judging by his breeding, Zafine was quite a precocious two-year-old himself. So expect a good run from him. And the other money horse is Beach Bell from the Kevin Prendergast stable. Another yard synonymous with early season winners here at the Curragh. So all in all, you'd expect the winner to come from one of those three. I'd stick with the Bulger line and go with alertness, but the money for the lap dancing Zafine could also prove very, very significant.
Okie doke. Next up is the 240, another maiden, this time 6 furlongs the trip. We've got a bit of form to go off here, although some of it wouldn't look the strongest. Interesting that the head of affairs this morning, we've got the time recording, co-favourites of 3 in Aerialist, Roussillon and the Islander. One of those has experience, the other two do not. And do you think that'll stand Roussillon in good stead here?
Hopefully, yeah. I also think the drop back down in trip might well suit Roussillon, because for 9/10 of that race towards the back end of last season at Leopardstown, he looked the most likely winner. He was well fancied in the market in a 14-strong field. He went off 9-2, third favourite. In the end, it went the way of the Aidan O'Brien train, Blue Hussar, but probably about 100 yards from the post, Roussillon was a length clear, and it looked to be a good winning start for Dermot Wells 3R, but he just got collared late on up that stiff hill climb, and you know, you'd let the impression that A, he'd certainly be a horse you want to keep on the right side of this season, and also perhaps in and around or below the 7 furlong trip. Perfect starting point for him here. We know he handles soft ground, we know he goes well fresh. And I think this distance will be fine for him today. I think he's a worthy favourite. The only slight drawback, if there is going to be one, is the draw. Drawn in stall 6. That is not ideal. Doesn't mean he said he can't win from it. And we certainly learn a little bit from the first race where we need to be down the centre of the track, of course, at the Curragh. But providing that draw isn't too much of a hindrance, he's very much the one to beat. We've then got 2 unraced horses from the big, powerful stables, the Islander and Aerialist, of course, representing Aidan O'Brien and Jim Bulger. They're worth more than a second look in the market. And we've also got Ivy Gardens as well, who ran encouragingly on her debut. That was at Navan, over 6 furlongs towards the back end of the season, when Golden Amber, the much more experienced Golden Amber from the William McCreary Yard, took that particular race. She's not got a bad draw. And Charles O'Brien's also in good form. Of course, Lottie Dot won the other night for them at Dundalk, so plenty of positives to be taken from that one, particularly from an each-way perspective. But Roussillon is a horse that I like. I like the way he went through that race at Leopardstown. And let's hope that he can continue to keep the good work of the Dermot Wells stable.
OK, then, Roussillon there in the 240. Next up, the 310, it's a handicap over 6 furlongs. Really, really tight one, this. 5-1 the field at the time of recording. One horse I'm going to throw at you, Andy, and I'm going to throw it out there now, it will not be winning today, but one that I've had my eye on all season is Ask Dad. Damien English, Rory Cleary, was rated as high as 97 with Richard Hannon. Obviously not as good anymore. Showed a little bit of promise at Dundalk earlier on this year. I think that is a horse that I'm throwing out there will win a race at some point this year, but it won't be today. Firstly, have you got any views on that? And secondly, what do you think is going to win the 310?
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Astad. I know you've talked to me about that horse in the past, so we'll definitely keep our eye on him. I think this is a really intriguing race. I think there'll be lots of winners coming out of it in the future. There's some horses that I've already tipped and won, and horses that I think will go on to make up into listed stroke group horses. The main one here for me would be English Deer. Now, I'm not going to select English Deer today for reasons I'll get onto, but I do think this horse is a very, very talented individual. When he won at Dundalk back in November, I tipped him on the podcast that day because he was extremely unlucky not to win a similar handicap to this in the back end of September over today's course and distance, when he just failed to see off Nero Emperor, who of course went on to run in Dubai throughout the winter. Unfortunately, he sustained an injury. He then went to Dundalk and defied a very, very bad run through the race to end up winning quite snugly in the end. I know it was only a short head, but I actually thought he won with more in hand than the official margin suggests, in a very fast time. The problem with English Deer is that all his best form's on a sound surface, and I think this is when we're going to see the best of this horse. He's got a really good cruising speed and a good turn of foot, and that's likely to be blunted today on the soft to heavy ground. So if he manages to win today, which I don't think he will, mind, he's obviously better than what I thought. I'm going to go for 2 against him today. One of them is Shrewkahan. Now, you look at this horse's form figures and you think, how on earth is this horse a 9-2, 5-1 favourite? You know, he's got duck eggs next to his name, and he hardly has got any form of any great note towards the back end. But that's the problem. Shrewkahan never, ever performs towards the back end of the season. The time to catch him is in the early part of the year. And he struck first time up last year in this particular race. The ground was once again heavy. In fact, all his four career victories have come when the ground's very testing. So he obviously has certain criteria to fit before he's at his best. And I thought he did really well to win last year because he never did look like winning until late on. He's obviously got plenty of stamina, and the ability to handle soft ground is very much the key to him. He's trained by Paul Deegan, and he's bound to have his horses pretty much straight and forward, like he always does for this particular meeting. And he's booked Jamie Spencer as well. So Shukahan is the number one vote. And I'd have to have a few quid on a horse that I really like as well. It's Jim Bulger's Son on the Run. This horse scored in a very fast time, first time out in heavy ground at Cork. That was back in March. And I was waiting for a long, long time for the horse to run next. She ran in May. And then, bizarrely, for a horse who won over 6 furlongs first time out and showing a good turn of foot, Jim Bulger, the genius trainer that he is, ran this horse over 1.25 miles. I must admit, I thought that was the strangest move ever from Mr. Bulger, but obviously he knows a lot better than I do. As it turned out, she didn't get the trip, which wasn't a great surprise. And I'm not sure what he's going to do with her for the rest of the season, but I think this is going to be a in and around her best trip, 6-7 furlongs, soft or heavy ground, no problem. And she's also got a very good draw, 13 of 13 up the stand rails. If that's the place to be, judges on the first couple of races, I do think Son on the Run is very much a horse to stay on the right side of. She's big, she's scopey, and I think she's got a touch of class. So okay. Son on the Run and Shukahan in the 3.10.
Okay, lovely stuff. Next up, the 3.40. It is the Lodge Park Stud European Breeders Fund Park Express Stakes for fillies, a Group 3 contest over 1 mile. Really, really nice race this, Andy. Nice feel to it. You couldn't rule many of them out, really, could you?
You couldn't, no. Obviously, levels of fitness we're not too sure on. I think what we've got to look at here is what stables have already had success early on in the card, which ones are forward. Quite a few of these horses in this race from trainers have got runners early on in the card. Of course, you've got Aidan O'Brien, Dance with Another. You've got Dermot Weld, Vote Often. You've got Pop Art, Charles O'Brien. And you've got Jim Bulger with Morgan, Deegan with Akansha. So there's quite a few of these who we get a feel for which trainers are doing quite well. Obviously, I've got to tip something without that knowledge in hand. And I'm going to go with Morga here, Jim Bulger's filly by Whipper. A filly that I followed quite extensively throughout last season. And she only rewarded me once, and that was down in Wexford. But she won a series of good races without winning, rather frustratingly, towards the back end. And I always felt that she was probably unjust not to win at least one, maybe two of those races, particularly the day at Cork when she didn't get a clear run. She also didn't get smoothest passes through at Leopardstown, albeit she was beaten by a horse who was right on top of his game at the time. That was Castle Guest. But she proves she stays at least 1.25 miles. She handles the ground. And she's had one run here as well in middle of last season when she was fifth behind Jayad Jadan, Dermot Weld's charge. That was on a faster surface. She handles all kinds of terrain. I think Kevin Manning's a good booking for her as well. She's often ridden by an inexperienced apprentice, which I don't think has done her too many favours. Killian Hennessy, Derek Redmond has ridden this horse before. So all things being equal, I think Morgan's going to run a huge race here. I'd certainly respect Wannabe Better from the informed Tommy Stackyard. They had a winner on Dundalk the other night, so that stable, as it usually is quite well forward, and she's quite a classy filly. But I do like Morga, 10-1 each way. I think she'll run well in that 3.40.
Okay, next up is the 4.10, race 5 on the Curragh card. It is the Johnny Murta Lifetime Achievement in Racing Handicap. 7 furlongs the trip for this one. Johnny Murta does actually saddle a runner in this in Callery, so he'll be hoping that that one goes well. But it's another race that does look open. Some unexposed types coming up against some informed types. Master of Time is one that's been enjoying himself over the winter at Dundalk. But certainly another race with a really interesting look to it, Andy.
Yeah, this is a very difficult race. It's quite a surprise that Third Dimension is so hot in the market here. Joe Lyons' charge. He's a gelding by Dubawi, and I'm not sure whether he'll handle the ground, although obviously he's been gelded, so that might just improve his profile. It's very much one of a slightly disappointing horse so far. So the fact that he is being very well backed tells you that he's obviously been doing some good work at home. I'd certainly keep an eye on him without perhaps selecting him. I'm going to go with Pearl Earring here from the David Watchman camp. I like the way she won towards the back end of last season at Sligo, making all the running and quickening up quite smartly to win in the end by 6.5 lengths, no less. But what was noticeable, that she came to hand on her first start last year when she was run up to Bluebell down in Limerick, handling also a very bad ground. Her only bad run, funny enough, came here at the Curragh, but that was on a firm surface, so she obviously likes to get a toe in. She's going to have that ground today. And invariably, David Watchman's usually got his horses quite forward as well. So in a wide open race, where the eye-catching one with regards to money is Third Dimension, I'll go against the gamble and go with Pearl Earring each way.
Okay, Pearl Earring each way there in the 4.10. Next up on the Curragh card is the 4.40. It is the Irish Lincolnshire. A mile the trip for this. Looks very, very competitive indeed. We've seen a fair bit of money this morning for Dermot Weld Stuckador. Lord Aaron as well being back for Richard Fahey, an English raider there. But again, it's another race where you could give chances to many. Which ones are you going to give chances to, Andy?
Well, at least Stuckador, you know, if you're backing him, you're assured of the fitness angle, because this horse ran second to Quick Big Vic back on the 26th of January. Funny enough, I think I tipped it that day on the podcast, and although he got beaten 9 lengths, he certainly performed with a good deal of credit. It's probably, to be fair, a distance over hurdles that he always struggles to get, because he is a miler on the flat, so, you know, he might be a maiden over hurdles for quite some while to come, but he goes well fresh. He's got some decent form on soft or heavy ground, and you know, he could be drawn really favourably in stall 18, so he's obviously a massive player, as could well be Shipyard. The only problem is with Shipyard is that even though he's got the most probably unexposed and sexiest profile, I'm not absolutely guaranteed, and probably neither is the trainer, this horse will get the trip on heavy ground. He didn't when he ran at Leopardstown on it towards the back end of the season. Now that might be, you know, being very unkind to the horse, because that was only his third career start. So if you're giving the benefit of the doubt from a good stall Shipyard, you know, could easily take a race like this off a mark of 83. You've then got the horses like Canary Row and Lord Erin, who have been well back this morning, courtesy of Tom Segal going for them. And you've also got a couple of horses that I quite like as well at a price, and one of them is going to be my main selection. That's We'll Go Walking from the aforementioned Johnny Murtestove. Of course, he gets a race named after him today, so I'll be looking for all his runners to do very well. And I think Johnny's going to hit the ground running as well with his horses. A new rookie trainer, well, not rookie, but this is his second year and probably his first full year of having a go without being a jockey, if you know what I mean. And I think he's going to really make sure that he starts with a bang. And what better way to win the Irish Lincoln with a horse that used to be trained by Jim Bolger. Noticeably, she made a winning debut when she won at Gowran on her first start. She beat quite a good field that day, but most significantly in a very fast time. She was then pitched into the deep end, back at the same track, but she ran over a mile and a quarter and got beat by Caponato, who's a very, very classy filly, probably a Group 1 filly on her day. She then ran over distances of a mile and a half, and quite clearly she didn't get those distances, even though she's by authorised, she didn't get a mile and a half at Cork or Galway. So I think a strongly run mile is going to be right up her street. We know she goes well fresh, she handles the ground, and she comes from a yard that I think, as I said, he's going to go places this season. At 12-1, We'll Go Walking is the number one choice in the Irish Lincoln.
Okay, We'll Go Walking there at 4.40. 10-1 at the time of recording for that one. So the final race on the Curragh card comes up at 5.10. It's another maiden, a mile the trip for this one, and it's for three-year-olds. Aidan O'Brien looks to have a pretty strong hand here. He's got Belisarius and Table Rock, Joseph on one of them and Anna on the other. That would suggest that Belisarius is the form pick, but Table Rock's certainly the least exposed of the two.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting little matchup this between these two, and you've mentioned the fact that Joseph is riding Belisarius. That could well be you know, the right choice, but it wouldn't surprise me if Table Rock turned him over here, and I'll probably go against the obvious. I thought Belisarius should have won the last day. He was a 4-7 favourite. He got there off the back of a good run at the same track the time before behind Ebazzani, and it looked for all the world that he was going to go by Jim Bulger's Everson in the latter stages, but he got out-battled, out-muscled out of it, call it what you like, but he just wouldn't go by. And there's just something lurking at the back of my mind. This horse is a little bit of a monkey. He's obviously got a little bit of a touch of the sire's genes running through him. Of course, one or two Montjews have got an awkward head carriage, and sometimes they don't always put it in. So I'm going to go with Table Rock. He probably is more of the straightforward of the two. He's yet to race on ground as soft as this, but hopefully he'll handle the ground. I like the run here over this course behind Ebenor and towards the back end of the season in what I think could turn out to be a very good maiden. There's some really nicely bred and good-looking horses in that race. And Tabor Rock came out of the race with a good deal of credit. In fact, the further the race was going, the better he looked. So I think the step up to a mile or suit. Obviously, I could get this badly wrong here with Anna O'Brien riding and Joseph riding the other horse. But I'll take my chances and go with Tabor Rock in the last.
OK, Tabor Rock in the last from the Curra. We'll move to Downpatrick. We're just going to look at one contest there. That's coming up at 3.55. It is the Ulster National, 3 miles, 4 furlongs, the trip for this handicap chase. A really, really open race once again, as you'd expect in these kind of races. Kyle Crew heads the market at 9-2 at the time of recording. Another one where you could give chances to most of them. But what are you going to come down on here, Andy?
I could fancy 4 or 5 in this race, to be honest. The one thing I would always make a note of is the Northern Ireland trainers often dominate this race. Obviously, it is Downpatrick is in Northern Ireland, which is a state in the flaming obvious. But it's amazing how many of those handlers that train close to the course, such as Stuart Crawford, Coleman Abratney and Gordon Elliott, often do well here at this local venue. They always seem to lay one out for the race. It's often kept under in home territory, as it were. So with that in mind, you've obviously got to make a case out for all those aforementioned trainers. You've got Mr. Filson from the Crawford Yard. He also trains Hidden Horizons. You've got Jimmy the Hat from the Elliott Stable. Blinkers and the Tongue Tie worked the Oracle with him the last day. And, of course, you've got Butney Boy as well, representing Colin Abratney. So just keep an eye on those. However, I'm going to go for one at a bit more of a luxurious price here, and that's a horse called Seriatim. Now, Seriatim was a bit disappointment in this race last year. That's a slightly off-putting factor about his claims. But casting that aside, I think he's got a fair chance here. I think he's been running quite well this season, rather under the radar. His best run of the year, undoubtedly, was when he was run up to the very smart Stuart Crawford trained Man with Van in a hurdle race at Fairy House 2 starts ago. And I thought he'd run a little bit better than he did at Fairy House when he was run back in a handicap the next day. And he just plugged on at the one pace. That was a slightly bad return. But he comes here to a track where, apart from last year, he's got really good sound credentials. He hit the board every single time he's run at Downpatrick. I'm just putting that run here last year as just one of those things. He just never got into a good rhythm. For one reason, he didn't figure. But as I said, I think his form this year is actually quite good and probably better than it was this time last year. Noticeably as well, he's ridden by Davy Russell. Connections have gone out of the way to get the man who's in the best form so far in Ireland this season. And his county Antrim handler has obviously laid this horse out for the race yet again. So Seriatim, I think it's 14-1 this morning with William Hill. He'll do for me each way in the Ulster National.
OK, Seriatim in the 3.55 from Downpatrick, the Ulster National. Great stuff, Andy. Best of luck today. Enjoy the action on the flat and enjoy the big race at Downpatrick there. Best of luck with your selections and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, cheers, Alex. Catch you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.